and each will receive wages according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers, working together. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Let each builder choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I saw a cute shirt online this week. It said, if Paul were here, we would get a letter. Paul's method of communication was to write a letter to the church. That's how he best shared with them what he thought they should know. Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. Our scripture today could be summarized to say, grow up. Grow up. Now, many commentaries that I've read keep coming back to that phrase, that the people of Corinth are behaving immaturely, that they should act their age. They should act like they know who they are and to whom they belong. To behave as if they have heard of Jesus, let alone may have known him, and that they maybe have heard, they should act like they have heard what Jesus said when he said, love your neighbor. When Jesus said, help those in need. When Jesus said, show up for the person on your side of the road or the other side of the road. Heal the sick. Paul wrote this letter that we got in part. But in part, he wrote it to tell the people of Corinth to start being the church. Be the church. This is our second week of looking at Crossroads Church as being a place where God has dwelled. Last week, we talked about those locations for which Crossroads had, right? The beginnings in the school and warehouse number one, and to much surprise, warehouse number two. And this land here and this building. We gave thanks for the many ways that God has brought people together, not only to build a congregation, to find space to worship, but also to build this building and to pay it off and to continue to enhance it as a place where people can gather to know God. We shared last week that it's not just about the history, but it's about the testimony to God's never-ending desire to be with God's people. God's never-ending desire to be with God's people. This week, we consider what the scriptures say about being planted and being watered with a focus on how we can let the Spirit move us. I am not suggesting a new property. But I am suggesting that we continue with this connection and with this expectation that God is still speaking and therefore we should still be listening. I sat with the window open a couple of times this week, a new thing for me to do in this office that I've inhabited for almost 3 years. And with the window open, I heard the birds sing. I stood and read opinions about what Paul was saying to this young church that he loved. And I read very clearly that a church is not defined by its pastor. Those come and go. It was affirmation that this is God's place, not yours, and especially not mine. And that made me laugh. I laughed out loud while the birds sang. Just hours before that, a young person had asked me, "How can you go to church? It's not Sunday." And someone quickly said to them, "She's got the keys." The keys, the sound of birds, the Bible scholar's words. Yes, I have all of that. And I also have the knowledge and years of learning to know that this church is not about the one who stands in the pulpit. I also know that one person telling others, even if you label it as an invitation or an opportunity, telling another person to grow up or grow deeper into your faith or to embrace your spiritual gifts, that a voice repeating those words will not be what makes a church continue to grow or makes a person grow in their faith. It is through the watering down of God. God's watering of us. God makes all of this possible. It's God's love, dedication, and invitation is what will keep us being the church. At times of transition, I've noticed that people, including myself, tend to hunker down, to stick with what we know, to utilize those tried and true methods, sometimes even to retreat within oneself. No matter how exciting the new thing can appear to be, there's always this grief and this questioning, and sometimes it's this opportunity for us to stop and consider our own spirituality. Now, for different reasons, each with their own, there are many among us that are in a time of transition. Those who have had a minute to consider their place might be tallying up their blessings. They might be recognizing their fears. Or they might be sitting frozen because they're overwhelmed. That's what I heard for that church in Corinth. It seems to be what was happening there, that the people were starting to divide amongst themselves and draw this separation between us and them. And they began infighting within their own groups. And they had realized that the world had caused them to think that they had to choose sides and to argue and to display less than Christ-like values. And Paul wrote them a letter, and he told them to stop it. He said, "You know better, so grow up." There, I summarized the whole book for you. Stop it, you know better, grow up. But much like the wastefulness of our voice when we say that to the young or the old, grow up and act your age, hearing it doesn't work. It doesn't change anything if you're not ready. Because change comes from this willingness to abide in the Spirit. And change, growth, comes from accepting God's watering and the nurturing of your spirit. Growth comes from encapsulating all of those past lessons and embodying them in the rich field within yourself and giving them time and space to grow. And patience. Oh, you need patience. Sometimes it's coming back to the first song that you played and playing it again. Sometimes it's learning the songs of the people you're with. And sometimes it's adding a Picardy third and trusting that that will be enough to bring another from a sad or minor place to a happy one. What's the future of Crossroads? I don't know. God only knows. Where will the Spirit move us? I don't know. That is yet to be learned. How can we live as God's people? Well, we've already been given some good ideas. Don't give in to the ways of life that tear others down. No. Build them up. Don't think or behave in a way that you succumb to human weakness. Ooh, that's a hard one. Learn the scriptures and the songs and the ways of Christ so that you and I can mature in our faith and choose to live by the Spirit, the life-giving power that leads to relationship with God. Remember that you too are the mission field, that you are God's building. You are the one that God will work within and around. And if around us is fractured or restored, God will still be there. that all who trust in the Spirit can lead the church to new life, to new purpose, to new mission. Jesus said the most important commandment was to love God and to love others. Love God and love others. A commentary by Scott McKnight says that love is defined this way: a rugged and effective commitment to another in presence, in advocacy, and in mutual growth. Love is a commitment to walk beside, to stand in the gap of, and to be present with others. May we be so blessed to live in the Spirit, to follow the Spirit, and to grow with God and each other and whoever God puts in our lives. May you be blessed to be a blessing this day and always. Amen.